Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McEady.
And we will talk Kyle and Marissa. Follow the timestamps. It's going to be at the end because, you know, we joked at her a lot of people are friends of the pod, but she is truly was a friend to Troy and I.
Yeah. And we have not been able to even mention it without immediately almost starting to cry. So we got an episode to do, so we're going to end it with the episode so that we can just, whatever happens, happens. Yeah.
And we do want
to... I could barely even get through that. Oh my God. Okay.
All right. I know. This is going to be a tough one, guys, but we appreciate you. You know, we did get a lot of DMs saying you don't have to rush right back into episodes. But I have a DM from Kyle Marissa saying that the pop culture Kikis were like her Xanax. So I think the best way to honor her is to do this episode and make sure she's in the title and, you know, give her flowers at the end of the episode.
I totally agree. Especially because a lot of the stuff, it's like, I've seen a lot of people saying like, you know, God, who's going to pick up where she left off and blah, blah, blah. And like all of this stuff is stuff that she would be so interested in today.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when I was looking at the Coachella stuff, I was like, God, she would have been dying for this stuff, you know, and like JoJo, like just all of it. So this is like 100% in honor of her.
Now, we do want to remind you guys, we are doing live shows. We're starting in DC. We have shows. Chicago is sold out. You're going to hear us bully Atlanta a little bit because Atlanta has really wanted us to come. And you know what, Atlanta?
I don't know if you guys are waiting until the last minute to buy your tickets or what's going on, girls, but you guys get out the credit cards and buy those tickets.
And I think it's on a Thursday night. And you know what? We'll write you a permission slip to go into work late the next day. We'll say, nope, they came to our show and had a nice time and deserved to come into work late.
Yeah. We'll even spray it with perfume and kiss it.
Now, I do want to start this episode on a high note because Ashley Parker Angel, if people aren't familiar, he was in O-Town. He also had a solo show on MTV. And his new thing is like posting thirst traps. And he's very much one of those like influencer, fitness influencers that's like, join my program and lose 15 pounds in 6 weeks. I actually know someone who did his program and said it was really good. So... but thirst traps are his thing, and he posted a thirst trap in a pair of whitey tighties, and it's him gazing off into the distance at an ocean, and the caption says, looking for the real killer now that OJ is dead. Just kidding. The real killer is dead, right? What were you up to during the OJ Simpson trial? Hashtag, I love the 90s.
It's like, don't you sometimes, like, I think about this all the time. Like, there are some times where I seriously just want to comment on somebody's picture and be like, you can just post your ass. You don't need to do a bunch of theatrics to make us think that this was some organic thing. That just post a picture of your ass and move on. The amount of times a day I wish I could say that to somebody, or like when people, it's mostly men that do this, but they'll do those like, those thirst traps where they're getting ready and they'll like look for excuses to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Just show your ass. You don't have to pretend to be putting on pants.
Ashley Parker Angel, no one's going to be like, oh my God, he posted a thirst trap and OJ Simpson died. What are we going to do about this?
And he didn't correlate them. Oh my goodness. It's like, just like, I can't.
He is a very fun follow. And you know how you can also go to like people's cameos and see cameos that they've done for other people?
Mm-hmm.
He always performs a song during his cameos. It's really, he is a gift. And I wish he had a bigger platform to give us.
Well, if he keeps posting cringy content like that, maybe he will.
It's time. It's time for a comeback for Ashley Parker Angel.
And he seems very harmless.
He does. He just wants people to be like, you look really good.
Yeah. I want to talk. I want to just do Bravo like straight from the top. Because there's a lot going on in the Bravo universe right now. Yesterday was like a crazy day for Bravo fans. The most important thing being Lexia and Todd's divorce announcement and the fact that Todd is the one leaving. I am gagged and gooped and beguiled. I cannot believe that he was the one that was like, I'm done. They just have the absolute weirdest, most strange, one of those weird squinty housewives relationships where you're always just like, oh, there's so much more going on here. And you guys are white knuckling it to try and not show the public who you are, but also you are fame hungry and want to be on TV filming your life. Like, it's insane.
I always find it so interesting when reality stars do try and hide stuff. And granted, like, some get away with it. But it sounds like Alexia is just, like, strange in general from, like, the consensus I've read on Twitter. But it does seem like Bravo had, like, a red wedding episode yesterday. Everyone's just getting booted left and right and divorced and written off shows and leaving. And no one knows what's happening.
It is crazy. I mean, I have to say, like, I know that the other housewives, the other Miami housewives are probably absolute. Like, Adriana is absolutely dying right now. She is gagged. I know that she's like rolling around in her bed, kicking her feet. I mean, it's just insane. And Alexia and Todd have always been really weird. Like, they were weird from the minute we were introduced to him. But for me, the thing that solidified that they are a very odd couple was when there's like an episode where he refused to come to a party she was throwing downstairs and everybody was asking where he was. Cause like, you know, it's like a thing on the Housewives. If your husband doesn't come or your boyfriend or whatever doesn't come to events with you, it becomes a conversation. Like, why are you always coming to stuff alone? So the fact that she had a party in her home and he wouldn't come was like weird. But then they found out that he was like upstairs and they were like, well, why won't he come downstairs? And she was like, well, he doesn't want to interact with any of you. He doesn't like you. And then he comes downstairs and they stand next to each other and give this weird, like, politician speech that was so weird. And, like, they obviously had, like, come up with it together. And she's standing next to him and shaking her head up and down. Like, they were just weird as fuck. So, you know, we're rooting for you, Alexia.
So another divorce that just happened, Gypsy Rose Blanchard has opened up to, well, a source has opened up to TMZ about the divorce. And allegedly her soon-to-be ex was hoarding food and like not cleaning out the fridge. And there's just, it just seems interesting. And I don't think anyone thought they were going to be like in love forever. It just happened quicker than expected.
They were very much giving me those when I saw those pictures of her walking with her new boy with her cigarette, her tank top. I was like, oh, she's giving me 07 Britney so hard right now. Like, it was giving me Britney and Adnan vibes. I was like, this is so Britney leaving a Walgreens at 3 a.m. with like a pack of Red Bulls and a lit cigarette and her paparazzi boyfriend. Yeah, Gypsy is. I was thinking the other day, how many, like, networks do you think have reached out to her for shows? Because you know TLC is like up her ass.
I cannot even imagine it. Like, I hope she never signs a television deal and we just get these like stories. I think that is like the best thing for her. But I just wanted to also add, this is from the TMZ article. However, this is like so crazy. However, this isn't the only thing the couple butted heads about. As we're told, GRB also struggled with Ryan's snoring, which made it difficult for her to sleep. Plus, she told loved ones, Ryan's kind of a human furnace, running very hot at night, and she likes sleeping in a cool bed.
The lady knows what she wants.
She's like, when we were pen pals in prison, you never told me that you hoarded food, snored, or slept like a or felt like a human furnace.
She's like, I need me a man who runs cold. I need me a man who doesn't snore. She said, that's my list.
I actually think she's like handling all this attention really well. For a little bit, I was worried, but she seems to know when to step back.
Shockingly well. I guess it helps that she had an awareness in prison that she was famous.
True.
I guess maybe that helps that she got out and knew that she would be famous and that this would be like a really big deal. But like, yeah, she's handling it like a professional reality star. It's actually pretty wild to watch, honestly.
Good for you, Gypsy, and I hope you find happiness. Like, and that's, it sounded sarcastic, but it actually is like a true thing.
No, we're continuing to root. We got to talk about Coachella.
We do, because we talk shit about Coachella and they hurt us.
I know. Like, first of all, Coachella's back. Mm-hmm. It's back. It's bigger and it's better than ever. It is. Coachella's cool again. And I was thinking about this yesterday because I was like, God, why does Coachella feel so different this year than it normally does? And I feel like for a while, Coachella, like the influencer thing really peaked. Mm-hmm. Like the James Charles and the Tanas of the, not to say that I don't think they should be allowed to go to Coachella. Anybody should be allowed to go that wants to go, but it became influencer con. And I feel like it's kind of plateaued. And now it's like, it's not as much about, you know, James Charles and like what he'll be wearing at Coachella. Like it got real cringe for a little bit.
I actually wondered if Coachella was paying celebrities to show up.
I've seen people say that online about Taylor.
Yeah, and Justin Bieber being there this year, and like Evan Peters. I mean, Vanessa Hudgens was like, I can't go because I'm pregnant. And I'm like, listen, you are ready for a bunch of people to die there. So like, you got to come and give birth in the field. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, I guess seeing like Taylor Swift looking like she's rolling on Molly was a sight to see.
It's been fun. I have really enjoyed it. I will say, first of all, I have to. So I'm going to Coachella weekend two. So it was like cool to be able to see the vibe. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm really excited. I'm even more excited now because Coachella seems really cool again. And I mean, if for nothing else, Lana Del fucking Rey coming in on that motorcycle was an out-of-body experience for me. Like, I seriously, my bones left my body. I was just, I have never seen anything so cool in my life. And then her and Billy was just so beyond. And I love that Billy said, when Billy was like, what did she say? Like, she's like mother to all you bitches or whatever. Like, it's true. And it was so cool to see Billy sitting next to her because, like, Billy's career exists because of Lana, you know?
I thought it was cool that, like, Renee Rapp brought out Kesha, that Olivia Rodrigo brought out Olivia. And did I say Olivia Rodrigo brought out Olivia? I'm sorry. That no doubt brought out Olivia Rodrigo. And one thing about, like, Billy and Renee and Olivia specifically is they love who like influenced them so much. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason why Gwen Stefani is like, no, Olivia Rodrigo can come on stage with us. And like Renee bringing, I'm a Kesha lover. I will love Kesha forever. And like walking out being like, and fuck P. Diddy. Oh my God.
I know. It was so good. And I loved that Olivia is like, cause you know, I'm a No Doubt head. Mm-hmm. Like I'm Gwen Stefani head unapologetically. And I love that she's such a like a real fan. Like the videos of her in the audience singing the deep cuts, I was like, oh, she's not even like performing being a fan. Like she really is like a fan. It was just cute.
I think it's really cool how like Alanis Morissette and, you know, Gwen Stefani and even Hayley Williams and Avril have really taken Olivia like under their wing in a way we haven't seen with other female artists as of late.
Okay, I will also say something that has really been bothering me for the past day is this Justin and Jaden discourse. Like, are you guys serious right now?
Now's not the time.
Two men can't hug now.
Right. And Jaden and Justin have said they feel like brothers more than friends.
Like, I mean, you wonder why people like Justin Bieber don't come out and like talk about things. It's because it's a witch hunt. Everything he does, he says or does, like it's absolutely insane to me. Like even I saw yesterday, the Shade Room posted the clip of Jaden like kissing his cheek, and they were like, sound off in the comments about this. It's like, sound off about what? Him kissing his friend's cheek? Are we debating in the comments on if men should be allowed to kiss each other's cheeks? Like, this is why men are fucking psycho.
But also, I think it was Ice Spice was on stage performing, and Justin said, like, he went to Coachella to see her. He's a big fan. And she called out Taylor Swift, and then it just panned over to Justin. And his face kind of shifts, like, a little bit. But as anyone would if a camera went directly in their face, and people are like, look, Justin hates that she gave Taylor credit. I'm like, Justin Bieber's just like, can I just exist for a second?
Yeah, it seems like he's just trying to enjoy Coachella. I don't think every facial expression means something so deep. Like, he's at a concert in the desert that's 20 hours long. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so like, oh my God. Like, you wonder why this kid is like so fucked up, and why he's like so weird, and like doesn't want to talk about his life. You guys are animals. People are animals. It's crazy.
It was really like, this grossed me out as someone who would have done exactly what the audience did. So like, I know who I am. I know where I stand. But the like videos of Taylor and Travis dancing, and then all the cell phones around them, like, it really was like animals in a zoo.
It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. What do you think? Do you think for sure that if anybody's being paid to be there, it seems like it would be her?
Absolutely. And of course, like, I love that she made sure to wear a hat promoting Travis's podcast. And I need to say something quick, because I've talked about how Kristen Cavallari markets. I've talked about it quite a bit on this podcast. I just realized her and Travis Kelce have the same manager. And this manager has written a book called Blind Item Secrets or something of that nature. His name's Jack, starts with a K. But he's writes in this book how he pairs up people for PR relationships.
Wait a minute. I think I read about him.
It's like Coriston, like Jack. I know it's Jack K.
That's so funny. I would have never put that together.
And it just makes sense. Even before the Taylor thing, like, all of a sudden Travis was in every headline, and they were kind of throwing what would stick, right? Like the Meg Thee Stallion stuff is Kristen Cavallari dating John Mayer? Like, kind of throwing anything.
So funny. That's hilarious. Do you think that they all hang out in secret?
Travis, Kristen, and Jack.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm like, okay, now it makes sense why Travis was on Kristen's podcast.
Wow. You know, we don't take managers into account enough.
Mm-mm.
We really don't talk about them enough, honestly. Also, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody who truly went out of their way to send like so many, because I'm very nervous about Coachella. I'll be honest, I'm having a lot of anxiety. I'm like afraid of the desert. I'm like, I used to be a music festival girl back in the day. It's been a while. Now she's more of a, can we afford a VIP ticket kind of girl, you know what I mean?
I need a seat
and I need a bathroom. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that sent like links and tips and tricks and hacks and things that I should buy. It's completely changed my whole itinerary. Thank you.
What are you looking, I mean, I know you're anxious about it, but what are you most looking forward to? Like, is it the performances? Is it kind of seeing how everyone's dressed? Because I know you are a fashion girly.
I'm excited to see the clothes. That's the other thing, is Coachella this year feels very like, I read an article about how the fashion of it all feels like just nobody really knows what the vibe is supposed to be anymore. And I kind of like that.
Mm.
It's a reset.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's just wearing the most random, wacky shit, which I think should be the point.
Right.
I'm excited to see the clothes. I'm obviously really excited for the performances and to see like the weekend two version of stuff. And I'm excited for like just the freedom and like the walking around and exploring of it all, you know?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see. I mean, I think you'll have a great time.
I think so too. I hope so. I'm excited. You know, I won't be sober, so that'll help.
Before we move on from Coachella really quick, I just wanted to say that Evan Peters' video going around of him making out with someone with like Lana Del Rey in the background would have done numbers on Tumblr.
I know. It would have been edited with like fireworks and shit over it. And, you know, somebody would have stitched it into Rihanna's We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. Like it would have fucking moment. Did you watch the Brandy Melville documentary?
I haven't watched it yet, but like I've seen all the discourse about it.
It's really interesting. I watched it last night and it was so wild. Like, obviously, we are of the Abercrombie generation, not the Brandy Melville generation. We're not like young 20-somethings going to that store. So for me, it was interesting as like a full outsider to see like how they've taken the Abercrombie approach of making people feel bad about themselves and like tricking them into thinking that this shopping at this store will make them cool. They've like updated it for social media. So basically what they're doing is what Abercrombie would have done if we had Instagram in, you know, 2002. And it's just very like, but it's like 28 million times worse. Because Abercrombie was a real store, at least.
Right.
Oh, it was not a real business. It's some Nazi, crazy fucking guy who's like a creep. Just like this crazy Italian. Or is he Russian? I don't remember what he is, but he's like this crazy lunatic guy who's basically just running like a scam. Like, it's not a real business. So he... his business model is that he pretty much doesn't do anything on his own. He makes the employees and the young girls that work there do everything. So teenage girls are the face of the brand. He only hires pretty skinny blonde, you know, California surfer looking girls, which also gave me very much Abercrombie Hollister. But sort of the new version of that like, I'm just born beautiful. I don't even wear makeup kind of thing. But where it's like more sinister is that he has these girls run the social media, because in his mind, it's like, who better? He basically was like, why would I try and convince a bunch of young girls to like my clothes or like try and make stuff that they'll like? Why would I not just have them do all the work? They tell me what they want to buy and then I make it. And our social media, we're not trying to appeal to young girls. It is young girls running the social media. That's why it's a phenomenon, because it's 16-year-old girls making content for 16-year-old girls. Pretty beautiful 16-year-old girls making aspirational content to make other girls feel bad. And he even goes as far as to, they don't wear Brandy Melville to work. They wear whatever they want. But he sits in like an office above the store and watches everybody.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And every day they have to take a picture of their outfit for him. So he has thousands of pictures of these teenage girls and these like little crop tops and whatever. And he'll come up to them and say like, hey, where'd you get your pants? Can I take a picture of them? So then they'll take a picture of these pants that they maybe got from Urban Outfitters or whatever. And then he mass produces them for cheap. He literally just makes the clothes that they wear coming into work, because it means he doesn't have to design anything.
That's like evil genius. That really is like work smarter, not harder.
It is like, it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And obviously it goes super deep, like with the, you know, he is like a Nazi. He's super, extremely racist. He had all the black employees working in the basement of these stores, not allowed to be seen. I mean, it was like really fucking nuts. And then the one size fits all thing is like, was just a, you know, a marketing thing to get people talking about it. And what's even more insane is that since it all came out, they've done better. Their numbers have gone up. They're absolutely thriving as a company. Like, they're opening more stores. They're doing better now than they did before people knew what was going on. So you should watch it. You would really love it. Like, as former mall girlies.
Yeah.
it was like really interesting to see like the new generation of like the mall girly, but it's like Brandy Melville, you know?
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And like, I've seen so many posts about like what fast fashion does to other countries and how the United States are like the worst about it.
Yeah, that was another thing. Like, it was the first time I feel like I have ever fully, from beginning, middle, and end, completely understood fast fashion and like where it goes, what happens to it, like all of it. And like, it made me sick to my stomach. Like, I knew it was bad. And of course, I knew that they were like, you know, shipping these clothes off to like Africa and shit and making them deal with it. But I didn't know the extent of how deep it went and how America's basically bullied these countries into taking these clothes, and they threaten them if they don't take them. So they're just being bombarded with garbage clothes. And they, when they showed the ocean, and it was like,
ugh.
I think the woman dug 8 feet deep and it was still just clothes on the beach. And she said, by the way, this is what the ocean floor looks like here. It is just feet and feet and feet of clothes.
So have you watched Apples Never Fall on Peacock yet?
No, I haven't.
So it's really good, but it's like if Bloodline, it's like Bloodline's light, kind of the show from Netflix, but also if AI decided to write half of the episode. But I mean, it has Jake Lacy, who plays such a good fake nice guy. I feel like he's always, even in Girls, right? He's dating Hannah, but he's doing it because she's like overweight and he's nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Annette Bening is also in it. And I don't usually like Alison Brie, but she absolutely killed it. So it's a 7-episode like mini series. And I thought it was really good. It's an easy watch. The ending pissed me off, but not in a way that made me hate the show.
Well, you had me in Annette Bening.
And she's so good in it.
I love Annette Bening. She was like the reason that I wanted to watch it in the first place.
Yeah. And Alison Brie, like I said, usually I don't like her brand, that like she, how she acts. But I was like, ooh, she found the role. Like, again, she's like almost like a Jessalite.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'll definitely watch that. I'll watch it for Alice, or for, not for Alice. I'll watch it for, I like Allison. Okay. I'll watch it for Allison. Speaking of TV, can we talk about Martha's Vineyard? Because I forgot to say last week that I watched it.
Okay.
So not only did I watch it, I remember, I kind of like, I guess I didn't remember that I didn't finish the last season. You know, sometimes you do that.
Yeah.
Well, I just rewatched all of it. I watched season one, and because it's so good. Oh my God, it's so good.
The only thing I wish there was more of a pot stirrer. Like, Bria does an okay job, and now Summer is starting to do it. But they don't have anyone who's, like, fully ready to commit to being the villain. And I think that's kind of the problem with the show.
And I do wonder if they had let... Was it Mariah? Was that her name?
Mariah.
If they had let Mariah stay, I was thinking about that. Like, she would have been a really compelling villain, because she's, like, at times relatable, but also like a bully.
Mm-hmm. Or Phil.
Yeah. Oh my God. Phil would have been absolute pain. He would have been the Tasmanian devil of that house for real.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think a few weeks ago, I said Bria is too much of a little sister. She's too much like of an annoying little sister. But I want to know your thoughts. Like, who do you think your favorites are?
Okay. Well, I like Jordan a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Jordan gives me, if I was a woman, vibes. Like, the way she's just, like, so quick to pop off on a straight man. Like, she loves belittling and putting straight men in their place. It's a little too close to home, honestly. I really, really like her. And I love how vulnerable she is with all of her stuff and the hair stuff and everything. I really love Amir, and not just because I think he's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my fucking life, but he's just, like, really kind.
He takes time to check in on people in a way that you don't typically see, honestly, from, like, a straight man, especially on television.
so nice. And he's so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love his whole thing of like, I'm connecting to other Black people in a way at this point in my life that like I've never been able to. And like, it just obviously means a lot to him. Yeah, I love him. And I will tell you, not a big fan of Shanice.
She's my favorite.
Wait, tell me about it.
I don't know, honestly, because I have actually had trouble. I'm like, Jordan is a great, like, level-headed person to have in the house.
Yeah.
But unless you have someone like a Jax Taylor in the house, I think Jordan kind of doesn't stand as strong.
Yeah.
Because they all kind of, like, they're wild in a way, but not as crazy as a typical reality star. But Shanice going to church still drunk from the night before, I was like, she's my favorite. Like, that's all it took.
Shanice is, okay, this is the vibe that I get from her. She's somebody that I would find myself being friends with and being annoyed by pretty constantly. I'd be like, girl, like, at some point I would have to be like, we see your boobs. Got it. Shut the fuck up. Like, oh my God.
Hey, I'm naked. Anybody want to look? I'm going to get naked in 5, 4.
It's like, oh my God. Like, how much attention do you require per day? Good God. But she seems really nice, though.
Honestly, her being, like, allegedly stalking people, I'm like, that is a star. Like, that's just a star.
She's like, uh-oh, better take off my bikini. It's like, all right, girl. All right.
I will say, I love Preston, too. I think Preston's great. I wish they gave him more screen time. But Nick and Alex give me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Because Nick is a creep. He is an absolute creep with a capital C.
He is so strange.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to add on to that.
He's a little weirdo. He makes me very uncomfortable. And I'm happy that they talked to him about his, like, being weird with the girls. Because he is weird with them. He always, even last year, I thought he was weird with the girls.
And I do give him credit for going right to the girls being like, oh, I didn't even realize. I'm sorry. Hopefully, like, yeah, his actions follow that. But something about Alex, I feel like we all know someone who is so mellow and zen and they don't even drink and they eat so healthy. But inside, they're just like an insane maniac waiting to explode.
You hit the nail on the head. It's like, I don't care how much kombucha you drink. I don't care how many fucking yoga poses you can do. I think that he is insane. And I don't know. I just don't vibe with him at all. I will say, though, that I like Jason, this season's new addition. He's, like, cool. He's, like, seems really sweet.
Yeah, I agree. And I also really like Noelle.
Yeah, me too. I really like her a lot. I like her southern vibe that she brings. She's, like, so different than all of them.
And I wish Jasmine wasn't pregnant so we could see her get wild without her husband. But, like, happy for her, but...
That husband, though. Oof. Oof. Eek. Eek. I'm so happy he's not there. Oh, my God.
Silas is a vibes murderer.
I don't ever want to see him ever again. But yeah, and I will also say that the thing that I like about this cast is that they're very, like, even though they're not as wild as the other Summer House cast, like, drunk-wise, they're very, like, smart. Like, they mm-hmm. have, like, conversations. Like, there's just more interesting conversations happening here than, like, how are you and Lindsay? Oh, we're doing good right now. This week we're fine. What about you and Amanda? We're not getting along because Amanda says, it's like the conversation sometimes on the original Summer House can make you feel like you're beating your head against a wall. It's like children talking to each other.
Yeah. So Jordan was on Jemmy's podcast and she brought up a good point that like the other Summer House cast gets to take a breather. They go back to the city for the week, whereas Martha's Vineyard is 16 days straight and they don't get a cool down. And sometimes that's good because they can just hash things out right away. And other times it's just terrible.
You know, I didn't think about that. They don't leave.
And they also don't like invite people over, I noticed.
Yeah, they don't have parties, which is interesting because that's like the main focal point of the other Summer House. It's just like, I don't know, it's interesting, like just because it's like the region is so different, obviously. So like what they do is different. But yeah, I just really enjoy listening to them like talk about stuff because I'm like, God, you never get conversations like this in the other Summer House.
And I also think they let each other speak. They try and hear each other out. Of course, sometimes they just start yelling, but for the most part, they actually do try and like hear, but I hear one another. But I love when Preston's like, Bria's gone again. She's either going to be in New York or Germany at this point. She's got to stop leaving every meal we have.
Yeah. She's like, I'm done. And I fucking hate you guys. You're not my friends. I'm leaving. I'm packing up and leaving now.
And she reminds me of DW from Arthur.
Oh my God. She's literally such a brat. I love it. I'm obsessed. And I love that she threatens to leave and then she goes to her room and she pretends to pack and sits on her bed and plays with Milo and then goes back downstairs. Like, it's literally the same routine every week for 2 years. I love it. I'm obsessed.
And I love Milo too. And I love that he gets his own confessionals.
Oh, that's the other thing that I like about this cast is their confessional. I like that they have an old school real world like diary room. They have a real old school diary room.
If people aren't watching Martha's Vineyard, you really should. It's such a good show.
It is. It's really, I get like very excited each week. Like I actually like genuinely am like, oh my God, Martha's Vineyard's happening. But yeah, and I too am very sad that Jasmine can't like drink and is pregnant. There's nothing worse than when your favorite, or not that Jasmine is my favorite, but there's nothing worse than when a reality star like gets pregnant and can't like participate in the show that they're on.
Right, because she's supposed to be like the focal point of the show.
What do you think about them? Because I actually find this really relatable that they all are just like, they clearly don't really want to like be friends with her that much anymore, but they love each other and they met through her. So they have to keep.
I mean, I think Liz Bentley summed it up perfectly. She basically was like, Jasmine is what happens when people hate your husband.
Yeah. It's true.
Because I don't think it's Jasmine that they have the problem with.
It is what happens when people hate your husband because they don't, they're not going to tell you. I unfortunately am the friend that will tell you. I've always been that friend that's like, no, your husband's the worst and all of your relationships are suffering because your boyfriend fucking sucks. But most people won't tell you and they just kind of slowly drift away.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like worse in my opinion.
I agree because Jasmine's like, why doesn't anyone like me anymore? And it's like, it's literally not you, it's him.
Yeah. And it's really cruel to like make somebody feel left out like that, you know, and not tell them why. I would just be like, you've changed a lot since you married that douchebag. He fucking sucks dick.
Meanwhile, I'd be like, I don't think Silas cares for me.
He might hate me. I'm not sure.
Now, you guys know how much I love Jolene and Gail. Now that we're going on tour, I get a little anxious because I'm like, what am I going to do if they get sick? Well, you know what? I have an answer, and that is the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. Your pet is one of a kind, and so is their journey. While every playful moment is a memory in the making, sometimes our cats and dogs are a little too good at getting into trouble. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/blinds. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
This week's episode is also sponsored by Storyworth. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories from my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved ones a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved ones need to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of a year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories that you know, or you'll be surprised by stories that you've never heard before. After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can keep a copy of the book for yourself. So I love gifting stuff like this to my mom because I love trying to get my mom to cry with gifts. It's one of my kinks. And I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I used to do photography and I used to be a photographer. And I used to always gift my mom pictures in some sort of like form, like in a book or something like that. And this just makes it so much easier and also 20 times more heartfelt with the questions and the responses and the stories that you won't know. It's just cool. Families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/blinds. That's storyworth.com/blinds to save $10 on your first purchase.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes The Competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. So the Jonas Brothers are in some hot water. They basically announced that they were delaying or like rescheduling their European dates. They gave fans a 2-month notice and fans are pissed. And I do not know who their PR person is, Jonas Brothers, but you know, you could say a lot of things. The stage isn't ready. We want to update the set. But they said because they have other exciting projects to focus on.
I am obsessed. That is so funny. They said we have better shit to do, girl.
What? Like, I can't even wrap my head around what they were thinking. And the rumor has it that Nick and Joe are both going to end up on Broadway. But like, that could happen any other time too.
And also, unless you're announcing that, don't say that. You know what I mean? Like, unless you have the announcement ready to go, don't say like, we're not going on tour now because we have something else exciting going on. Like, that's crazy.
And I mean, those Jonas Brothers fans have PTSD from the last time they postponed a concert and just broke up.
I would be really, really, really mad. I would be livid.
And there are so many people being like, well, will you refund us? Like, you know, I can't move my hotel and flight now.
Are they refunding people?
I think so, but obviously they can't for travel or anything.
Oh, that would kill me. Sorry to the Jonas heads.
Like, give me an excuse. Tell me Nick's diabetes are acting up or something.
Yes, lie to me. Please, do not tell me that you have something else to do. That is literally, that wouldn't even work for like a dinner. Like if we were meeting for lunch and I was sitting there and you said, oh, sorry, I have an exciting endeavor. I can't come to dinner. I'd be like, you're a client for that.
You're like, I'm sitting at the table.
I'm here. I ordered a drink. Like, what are you talking? So we got a lot of messages about JoJo Siwa and Call Her Daddy because, you know, as you guys may or may not know, we are witches. We are oracles. And like literally everything we talked about, JoJo talked about on Call Her Daddy. Like literally, even when I was listening to it, I was like, this is actually crazy. Like she answered every question that I had and she validated a lot of the thoughts that I had, which was great. She talked about, for one thing, I think the thing that everybody is just like, that was a really weird thing to say. She talked about her mom and the money.
Okay.
She brought up that her mom's biggest fear was that she would run off with the money and that she's for years had to reassure her mom that she wouldn't leave her family high and dry without money. And they have this weird living situation where she basically like, she was like obviously paying for their homes and shit, mm-hmm. but they were living together and she had to like break the news to her mom. Like basically I'm going to kick you guys out. You have to now live on your own. And they were afraid to move because they thought, is she really going to buy us a house or is she going to take all the money? What?
JoJo, since you're clearly a Troy stan, it's time to like emancipate or like never speak to those people again.
It was wild. She talked a lot about her dating history and stuff. I thought that stuff was interesting when she talked about like how when she starts talking to a new partner that the person goes through a background check and they have to agree to a background check because she had like a previous girlfriend do something that was like unsafe and like really scary. So they have to agree to doing a background check if they're going to start hanging out or whatever, which is like insane. It was just like really, it was very cringe as you would expect the JoJo Siwa interview to be, but it was really eye-opening. And I just thought it was really interesting. Like the way that she talked about Abby.
Oh. And
yeah, because a lot of people say like, you know, obviously Abby Lee's never going to say anything bad about JoJo because JoJo's the only one that still talks to her mm-hmm. and like only Dance Mom kid that she's in good graces with. And JoJo totally like defended Abby and was like, you know, she's a tough teacher, but like, that's what coaches do. It's like, girl, what?
It sounds like all the adults in her life have failed her. And like, that's so manipulative for a parent to be like, well, I don't want you to run away for this money that you've worked so hard for. It's like, no, that's her money. Your money is the 10%.
Like, that's the reward of her bleaching her hair at 3.
Right.
Constantly. Like, that's insane. She, of course, she talked a lot about Miley and Hannah Montana and how obviously Miley is her idol. She sort of like tried to make her career be like in line with like Miley and Hannah Montana. And I don't know. It was just really, the whole thing was just so, I was like, God, this girl, I feel so bad. It's crazy because I feel bad for JoJo. I think that people are being really fucking cruel to her at the moment. Mm-hmm. But also she's so obnoxious and such a little asshole and says she constantly is putting her foot in her mouth every time she speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And now my favorite thing to come out of this is that Britt Smith, the original singer of Karma, is like famous again. So for those of you who don't know, so Britt Smith released this song 10 years ago. It was produced by Timbaland, and it was supposed to be her first single. She was very passionate about it being her first single, but she lost the argument to her record label. They made her release another song, and it ruined the momentum of her career.
Wow.
Like, and she seems really, really nice, like just like a really sweet girl. So she left the industry. She hasn't done music in 10 years. And now she's like, everybody's talking about Britt Smith because clips of the original Karma have gone viral. And it's made people realize the song is like not bad at all. It's that JoJo can't sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Britt Smith re-released her version of Karma yesterday. And it is on iTunes. And I hope it charts. Because JoJo then the other day had to address it because somebody was like, well, what do you think about all this Britt Smith stuff going on? Like, now, you know, people are accusing you of having stolen these songs. People are saying that you're not really singing on them. Mind you, this is after JoJo has said she does know who Britt Smith is. She heard the original song. She said it was, quote, too much of a 2010s song. So she had to put her spin on it and update it. Then she goes on to say that she has no idea who Britt Smith is. Who is this girl? I don't know her. I didn't steal the song. The original version was really bad, so I had to make it better. I downloaded Britt Smith's version because I'm contributing to her chart success. And I will tell you, Britt Smith's Timbaland-produced Karma, a bop. Bop-a-dee-bop-bop-bop, all the way down, house boots, bop. Good song. Been listening to it for 2 days.
Well, now I can't wait to listen to Britt Smith. I like that the gays have rallied behind Britt Smith and not JoJo Siwa.
No, it's so funny. And now Britt Smith is doing a press tour for a 10-year-old song. Like, the internet is insane.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to ask you guys to understand that we know that to you guys, Kyle and Marissa was a content creator. And we understand people have their thoughts about content creators. But for us, Kyle Marissa was actually our friend. She was someone who one of her last posts for stories was about coming to our DC show. And, you know, I messaged her, thank you. She never read it. And I was getting DMs last week being like, can you check on Kyle? And I DM'd her and didn't read it. And I was hoping, praying that it's because she needed a break. Mm-hmm. And to know, you know, we don't know exactly what happened yet, but Troy and I lost a friend.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. I guess, like, the thing about her was that, like, she's one of those people that when you meet people that just, like, radiate energy and light, and you just know that they're, like, special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just know that there's something about them that's different, and like whatever that thing is, it's gonna like guide them through life, like, and they don't even know it. Like, she was like that to me. She just like radiated. Like, when we recorded together when we recorded our episode with her, that was my first time ever like face to face talking, like not through like DMs and stuff. And I was just like, wow, like she's just like, she was like a pinball of energy and like excitement. And like, she was so quick and sarcastic and funny, but like fucking wildly smart, like a wealth of knowledge. And I think because people view blind items as like lowbrow, and they viewed her content as like controversial or whatever, like they never took into account how smart she was.
Mm-hmm.
And the following that she, I mean, like, I don't even know if she realized like how intensely people really actually did follow her. And the following that she acquired was so, like, I know from watching her videos, like, I always looked forward to just like how natural it felt. And like, she just felt like a friend, and it felt like a FaceTime call. And sometimes I literally would watch her stuff and forget that she wasn't like talking to me, because she just was so good at being natural and like gravitating and making people gravitate towards her. So like, that's like we lost like a real energy and like a real like and like a just a special person, you know.
And I don't think people gave her the flowers that like she truly deserved, unfortunately, you know. And in a lot of my talks with her, I know she read everything. And, you know, there's the conversation, even if you say about our podcast, you know, how we talk about celebrities and how we should be able to take it, but people don't like put into thoughts that we're the ones reading the comments. We don't have handlers. We also don't make millions upon millions of dollars. And I think, you know, with Kyle's main account being taken away, that was her main source of income. But something about Kyle is like she loved so hard. You know, she didn't have to give a shout out. She didn't have to do any of that. But that's just who she was. Like, if she loved you, you knew it and you never had to question it.
Yeah, she was very, very emotionally vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's like really hard to do. And in my opinion, like, even though I know a lot of people connected to her because of the blind items, because they felt like she was like their connection to Hollywood and what was going on and like being in the know. But I think anybody can read blind items. It's like her personality and the fact that she made people feel like they were like her real friend. And for her to have her social media taken from her, it's like it's a bigger blow than somebody who's just creating content. It's like she shared a lot of stuff on her social media. It wasn't just about blind items. She shared a lot of stuff about her health, her family, relationships, her body. Like, she was like really, really, really brave on the internet. And she also, you know how I feel about abroad. I was a broad.
Yeah.
Like, if I've ever met a broad in my life, she was one of them. She was fucking fearless. The way she would just be on the at the drop of a dime, like go up against fucking J-Lo or whoever and not give a fuck, because she knew that what she was doing was like in some way shedding light. And I don't know. I could go on for a million hours.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people saying really nasty things about her after her passing, and not the time. I mean, I you always hear like, don't comment, you'll never know who reads it. But I mean, we spoke about this before even jumping on the podcast. It's like, I've never had a friend who's also a creator pass away. Mm-hmm. And I've never been the target of like J-Lo stans or whoever. And like, see, getting DMs saying like, I'm so happy she died.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Like,
it's really to make a person's, not even a day after finding out, by the way, the same day, to make a person's death about you. You really, really, really have to be a fucked up individual to make somebody's death about you. And not even about you, about your love of a pop star who doesn't even fucking know you exist in this world. Like, she was a person. She was somebody's daughter. She was somebody's sister. She was somebody's friend. Like, she was a human being. And you are saying that you were happy that she died because she exposed J-Lo for treating people poorly. Log off for like at least a week and like get in touch with reality, touch grass, feel the air, feel the rain on your skin. Like, you really need help. It's like crazy. And people are being so, there is no debate of whether, like, nobody gives a fuck about your opinion of somebody's death. Keep it to yourself or tell it to like a mirror. But like, to debate back and forth on whether or not people should be allowed to be sad about somebody dying, you're a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
I don't even know if there's this much to say. You know, I think Troy and I are still very much processing it. I found out yesterday morning, texted Troy. And yeah, it's all just surreal, like seeing like she didn't read the last DMs I sent, or like, you know, even this week she won't be reposting our podcast being like, oh my God, I love Troy or whatever. And like, she was a true friend to us. And I don't know how else to say that. And we remember reading the comments of the episode we did with her. But like, we don't just invite people on this podcast just to do it.
Yeah. And also, we both just didn't care. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think both of us just thought she was like very special. And like, and she was so supportive of us and so like, oh, she was just so kind. Like, when you texted me yesterday, I feel like I was just like in shock and it didn't like register. Like, it didn't hit me for like the whole day. And then I read our DMs, like between her and I, and I just like lost it. I was just like, oh my God. Like, cause she was just so, you know, like you, no, she, I just, it's almost like you got used to her being so kind.
Mm-hmm.
She was always so nice. So I just always would expect to see like a message from her or whatever. Like, I don't know.
And I think for me, one thing I'll always remember about Kyle is like, I have a decent, you know, we all know different creators. You're in the kind of the same space, but not many like genuinely check in on you.
Yeah.
And her and I would like bond over comments or bond over kind of like how negative shit affects us. And like, that was one of our last conversations was about that. And like, but she really checked in and she really was like, you know, don't listen to those people. I know it's hard. Like, she would always just check in on you. And it's hard to find like real life friends that do that, let alone someone you've never met in person. And like, she was so excited to come to our DC show. And like,
I know,
we were even going to like have her introduce us as like,
I know, it's going to be so weird now that she won't be at our show. Cause I was like, we were so excited to like meet her. Oh my God. It's just horrible. It's just really, really sad.
It's really sad. And, you know, she has talked a lot about like she lost her daughter very young. So, you know, no matter what you believe happens when you die, I do think she's at least like she's at peace with her daughter now. And that's the most important. But Kyle, Marissa, you'll always be a part of the Beyond the Blinds family. And, you know, and just thank you for sharing so much of yourself. And you can't bottle up that energy and there'll never be like another like Kyle Marissa, honestly.
No, she was a real, and honestly, we were talking about this before we started recording. Like, I just don't think she ever would have been able to fully, you know, you always hear people say like, you don't know how people would react to like your death. Like, what would it look like if you died? And like, how would people respond and react and stuff? And like, I wonder if she would have ever even thought that so many people, like, she's on the cover of the Daily Mail today, you know? And it's so crazy because I can't help but think how much she would have loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was, like, on TMZ today. Like, she was a TMZ alert today, you know? Like, she would have fucking lost her shit over that. It's just,
When I saw her on People Magazine, I could hear her being like, knee pads.
Yeah, I know. And even like the stuff we talked about today, like I thought about her with the JoJo stuff, because she was like reporting on JoJo. And I was like, God, she would have loved, like she would have thought it was so funny that Brent Smith released her song. Like, she would have gotten like such a kick out of that. Absolutely missed beyond words. It's such a loss. And I feel like I've never seen, even on TikTok, I've never seen social media like collectively mourn like a creator like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, famous TikTokers have passed away, but I've never seen like an outpouring of response like it's been with her.
So, yeah, you know, if you want more, she always gave us more than like we could have ever imagined. And it was such a short time. And honestly, just thank you, Kyle, for the friendship that you provided to us.
Yeah. And thank you for always being so fucking supportive. So supportive of our show and so excited. I mean, you can hear it in in her energy when we recorded together. Like, it was just so, I can't yet listen to that. But yeah.
But yeah, we'll leave you guys with this. And again, thank you for giving us space to talk about this. This is really hard. And Yeah, we waited until the end of all the recording to do this because we knew we wouldn't be able to handle it.
Imagine trying to talk about Alexia and Todd after this. I mean, it's impossible.
But thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, like, again, like Kyle's mom did post something and she just said, be kind. So try and remember that, like, the comments you leave, people do read. I don't know.
And you don't know how they'll affect people. And sometimes it's, like, better to just shut up.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.